the talk of planet Earth. This is TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio. Welcome to Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G on TalkZone.com. And now, here's a Cubs fan who drinks light beer and has mustard relish and grilled onions on his Chicago dog. And a White Sox fan who prefers single malts and Cuban cigars. But there's no mistaking their everlasting love for the Fighting Illini of the University of Illinois. You are Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G.
We're back talking to Illini, Boz and Mr. G. Boz here for a moment. Mr. G's out in the hallway toweling off after that segment with Herb and CB. And a couple good things to announce here. Again, first, we want to thank our sponsors and hope you support our sponsors, Joe Rizzo Auto Dealerships, RizzoCars.com, Chicagoland Athletic Clubs, five or six locations in the Chicago area.
Actually, there's Lakeview, Lincoln Park, Wrigley, the West Loop, Evanston, and soon, coming soon, Wicker Park, Bucktown.
And Wildfire Steaks, Chops, and Seafood, Chicago, Oakbrook, Schaumburg, Lincolnshire. Is there another one in town? They've got a website, wildfirerestaurants.com. They're also in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, outside of Atlanta.
I think Eden Prairie is where the Vikings train.
Yeah, they get a lot of those guys come to the restaurant.
I'm sure they overserve a lot of them and have to defend lawsuits as well.
They don't know. That does not happen. And in the Alexandria, Virginia area also. Now, Saturday, the 20th of February, which would be, what, 2 weeks from this Saturday? We're at Purdue. It's a 3 o'clock ESPN game.
Boz and I aren't at Purdue. The team will be at Purdue.
Right. The Illini basketball team will be at Purdue. Mr. G and I will be at Joe's on Weed Street.
Correct.
Talking Illini remote. First time, ever. Come join us. There'll be strawberry margaritas, I'm sure.
We'll be giving away pitchers of regular beer.
But we'll be at Joe's. We'll be doing the show 1 to 3. Hope to have a lot of you out there. Spread the word. We'll try to get a note to the alumni.
I think I want to do a little bit of a trivia contest where we give away pitchers of beer and maybe some T-shirts for the winners of those trivia contests.
Okay. You could do whatever you want because we know you will anyway.
Thank you.
Before we get Jeff Johnson on the phone and get really into football and the signing day tomorrow, a couple more things, Mr. G, that have bugged me the last week I want to bring to you, get some comment from you on and from you, the fans, 888-463-6748. Second half Indiana game. It was towards the end of the game, pretty critical time, I think. And we had a good defensive stand. The ball went out of bounds, and there was 1 second on the shot clock. And they were inbounding. We were playing defense. And there was only one thing that anybody could do, and that was try to throw a lob, et cetera. And somehow we didn't.
Mike Davis lost his man, looked like the robot in Lost in Space.
And they ended up getting fouled in a free throw. I almost went through the roof of my family room. I mean, again, you know, any time a game, if you don't want to give up a basket, an easy basket like that, I would more than not play a three-man zone in the paint to not give up a layup and let him throw it out and shoot a three. You know, that play just killed me.
Almost killed you, because you're obviously here and breathing and ready for Jeff Johnson.
Is Jeff here?
Jeff is on the line.
Hey,
waiting.
Jeff, how are you?
Oh, wow. Love the robot Lost in Space, huh?
That was a cool character, wasn't he, man?
Yeah, that's a good reference, too. That's very good.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You got to listen more often, or we'll send you the tapes if you want movie references. Mr. G's got them coming out like...
You know, in football, I'm not... I don't... I, I'm, I'm, I'm don't really have a lot of emotion when I'm watching the Illinois games, but in that basketball, I'm like you guys, that just drives me crazy when they have those empty possessions and when they do some of that stuff where you're going, oh, my God.
All right, to tell the truth, Jeff, in the privacy of your own living room when you're watching a basketball game by yourself, do you ever get down in a defensive position or shoot free throws with them?
No, but I stand up and I throw a football up against the wall when I get upset. And I, you're right, I can't. I have to watch it alone now.
Yeah, it's hard.
I watched the Missouri game with people, and by 5 minutes into the second half, I just had to go down the basement and watch it by myself.
My wife ran into my study at home. She heard me scream, and she thought I was having a heart attack or something. I said, no, it's just the Illini game, honey. I'm okay.
Well, why the emotion for basketball and not football? They've taken it all out of you or what?
Oh, yeah, maybe that's a part of it. Maybe I'm not as close to the basketball situation now, you know, and maybe I have bigger expectations for basketball.
Well, we should.
I think Bruce Weber's a good coach. I just think that maybe he has some guys there that it's not a good mix, and it's like trying to get the literally trying to get the square peg into the round hole, and I mean it's going to age that guy 5 years for every year.
What is your expectation going forward for Illinois basketball?
I think it should always be at the top of the Big Ten. They should always have a legitimate shot to get, you know, into the NCAA tournament and do some good things.
So
you know, I understand when he came aboard, maybe he wasn't quite ready to do the recruiting as it was. But now, I mean, he's into it now, and I think it'll get better. But on the other hand, I mean, I look at some of those guys, and I just think the chemistry just isn't there. And I look at a guy like Mike Davis, who I wonder, does he really, at the end of the day, if they win, fine, if they lose, you know, because he's just losing all kinds of NBA money. He's like Josh Brent. Josh Brent losing all kinds of NFL money with that behavior because, you know, defensive tackles that are decent to good get paid a bunch of money. Everybody's looking for them. Look at some of the guys that are, you know, bounced around the NFL for 10 years just because they're defensive tackles and make millions of dollars.
Good segue into football now, Jeff. Before we get into the signing day tomorrow and the recruiting, you know, I want to take a couple steps back a few weeks when we hired the coordinators. You know, first I'd like to get your take, what you know, if anything, behind the scenes in terms of how these hirings came about. Were these guys targeted by Gunther and they just went out and got him and he said to Zook, here, these are going to be the guys you're working with? Did they talk it over together? Were there other candidates interviewed face-to-face? How did all that go down?
Oh, I think Petrino was the offensive coordinator. I think Zook got a list and went to the athletic director, and then they talked it over, and they decided to spend a bunch of money. And Petrino was a guy that they could get because, number one, he's pretty good, I think, and number two, he wants to get out of the shadow of his brother at Arkansas and be his own man, if you know what I mean. I think that was a solid hire. I really think I was surprised that they were able to get somebody of that caliber that would come here in this situation. That was really surprising for me. But again, he has a 2-year contract and is going to pay him close to $1 million.
Do you think there was a promise there, Jeff, that if the offense performed well and they were still dissatisfied with Zook, that he would be given a hard look as the next coach at Illinois?
Man, that's what everybody seems to think. And maybe that was the case, but if you're the head coach, I mean, it's kind of hard for the athletic director to keep that away from you, don't you think? I don't think you want a coordinator, a coach on your staff that is kind of looking forward and saying, well, if this doesn't work out, I'm the guy that's taking over.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That was kind of like Greg Landry under Tepper.
Exactly. A guy that was very ambitious, that was all about making himself look good, and this is that college football, college coaching and basketball and hoops is all about self-promotion. Because look at some of these guys that are head coaches, and a lot of that is because they promoted themselves, self-promotion, got their names out there, and cut others off at the knees to get to their position.
So did Zook make that list up himself, and who else might have been on there?
I think Paterno was at the top of the list, and he went down there. He talked to him. They got the good vibe. They worked it all out. I don't really think that anybody else, that was their main guy. I think they talked to, like, Holgorsen at Houston and Noel Mazzone and some other people, but the number one guy was Paterno. And when you look at it, that makes perfect sense.
And how about now the other side of the ball with Koenig?
I think his top choice always was Mark Stoops at Arizona, and I know from a couple of people, Mark Stoops worked with Wolford out at Arizona, and his brother is Bobby Stoops at Oklahoma, and Mike Stoops, the head coach at
Arizona.
Yeah, and I think I know from a couple of people that Mark Stoops was kind of telling people he'd been dodging Zook's phone calls for a couple of weeks because he was talking to Florida State, and Stoops ended up going to Florida State.
Yeah, interesting.
Their defensive coordinator, and he wasn't. I don't think he was ever coming up here to tell you the truth. I don't think he trusted this situation. Now he's going to work for Jimbo Fisher, which is a brand new situation of Florida State. Koenig came in after that, and Koenig was at Kansas State, and before that at Clemson, he was the co-defensive coordinator at Kansas State, and I heard that Bill Snyder, the head coach down there, kind of had a good idea that he was looking to move on and be the number one guy and didn't want to be a co-defensive coordinator anymore. And again, they paid him well and got him up here. And now it's just a matter. I mean, the most interesting thing is to me is Zook going to back off and let that guy run his stuff?
Well, I was just going to ask that question. How does his style, what he's done the past several years at his stops, compared to what Zook has done, and you know, is there going to be some, you know, bending in philosophy there for the guy to do his thing?
He at Clemson and Kansas State, they played a lot of the same cover two zone type of schemes that Zook plays. But Tony does a lot of that 4-2-5 defense, where Illinois is a 4-3 under defense that is more about speed.
Where's the fifth guy play in the 4-2-5?
Excuse me?
Where does the fifth defensive back play in the 4-2-5?
He's the guy that is like the hybrid weak side linebacker, strong safety that they move all over the place, and he's they blitz him, he covers the tight end. They just move him all over the place, and he could be in coverage. He's not in that weak side linebacker position all the time. They just play the two linebackers in the gaps and then move that guy around to wherever they think the play is going or whatever.
Jeff, do you think we'll jam receivers and tight ends a little more than we have in the past and play a little more press coverage?
Here's what I think. Koenig likes to play man coverage underneath and zone over the top. And if they find two cover cornerbacks, they were out looking for JC cover cornerbacks this class, high school kids, they were telling, you can come in here and have a chance to compete. And if they can find two man-to-man cover cornerbacks, I would see them doing a lot of jamming at the line of scrimmage, a lot of stuff, because Tony's the DB coach, and he does a lot of different things underneath with his coverages and to disguise it. And he loves to do that cover, have the cover corners in man and then the safeties in zone and just try to confuse the quarterback. But it all goes back to the pass rush. And I think he's aware that right now he doesn't have a pass rusher. So he's going to have to come up with some interesting blitz packages to get that pressure on the quarterback, because you can have the best cornerbacks in the world, but if the quarterback is back there for, 5 seconds, they can't cover him for 5 seconds.
Am I interpreting that as, if they could replace two, they'd have two new starting corners if they could find guys better?
I think Terry Hawthorne is a safety. I don't think Terry Hawthorne is a man-to-man cover cornerback, no matter how much they try to push that on you. I think that the kid that redshirted last year, Joe Little Thrash, is a cover cornerback. I think he'd go out there and play man. And if they could find another guy, that's why I was so disappointed that they were probably going to lose this kid from New Orleans, Urell Johnson, to Texas Tech, because he could have come in and been that cover cornerback that probably could have started as a true freshman. because the guys they have now at corner they were playing last year are more zone corners that back off five yards in and are good in their zones. But I don't know that they have the ability to stay with receivers for that 10 yards.
But Hawthorne can.
I don't think he can.
You don't think so?
No, I think he's a long strider. I think he's a long strider that you know, for that man press coverage, he takes too much time to gather himself and change directions. That's my opinion from what I saw.
So is he better are we better served with him at safety or receiver?
I think he's a terrific free safety outside receiver. in what Tony wants to do. You know what I mean? Because in that free safety, in this defense, that's the center fielder, and he can break on the ball, and he doesn't have that man coverage. Because I just think if he wants them, Hawthorne, to jam the receiver at the line of scrimmage, that he's just going to, you know, that's going to be receiver advantage because he can get off the jam and quick cut, be, you know, get that separation.
So is Hawthorne stay? So Hawthorne's going to be moved to safety, or is that?
No, I think they'll keep him a cornerback. And like Zook said last Saturday, he's also running with the wide receivers this off season. I think it's just going to be all up for grabs in the defensive backfield this spring. And to say, you know, this guy's going to be here, or that guy's going to be there in the defensive backfield, it's way too early because you have a new coach and a new scheme, and he's going to have to go out there and figure out who can play his scheme and move all those guys around.
Okay, great, Jeff. We've segued into some of the personnel. We want to get into more of that and also the recruiting and some of the other new coaches. We're going to take a quick break, and you can hang on with us, right?
Okay, great.
Okay, Jeff, we'll be right back talking Illini football with Jeff Johnson back in a moment.
Never do today what you can put off till tomorrow. Now, that's not exactly the saying, but it seems like people would rather have a root canal than do something about their finances. That's what AXA Advisors is all about, working with you one-on-one so you'll have a financial plan for the things you want tomorrow. AXA, financial protection. For more information, call Stephen King, financial consultant, 224-554-8053. That's 224-554-8053. Securities and investment advisory services offered through AXA Advisors, LLC, 212-314-4600. Member FINRA, SIPC.
You find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. RizzoCars.com.
It's true. We'll find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans available online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's so fast and so easy. RizzaCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle, compare up to 5 vehicles at once, access new vehicle reviews, take a new car video test drive. RizzaCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing, which helps to make your purchase simple and fast. Shop 13 new car franchises, including Ford, Chevy, Cadillac, Buick, Lincoln, Mercury, Acura, Porsche, Kia, Hummer, and Saab. So if you're tired and frustrated of driving from dealer to dealer, just remember,
you find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. RizzoCars.com.
The award-winning Sun Tracker Swivel Beach Chair is the only folding beach chair that swivels a complete 360 degrees. So whether you're basking in the sun or just watching the kids, you'll never need to get up to adjust to the optimal position. It's lightweight and folds to only 6 inches wide, so it's perfect for the beach, tailgate parties, sporting events, and more. Anywhere you take a folding chair, you'll want to take the Sun Tracker. To learn more or to order yours today, visit suntracker.com. Or call 888-786-8725. Sun Tracker, the ultimate swivel beach chair. A proud sponsor of Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. Check it out at suntracker.com.
Radio and the Internet.
TalkZone.com. Internet Talk Radio.
And now, let's get back in the game for more Talking Illini on TalkZone.com. Here are your hosts, Boz and Mr. G.
Back in the game, Talking Illini, Boz and Mr. G, and the Illini Rivals Orange and Blue News publisher, Jeff Johnson, talking Illini football now. Signing day is is tomorrow. Jeff, a couple things I've read the last week kind of made me chuckle and confused and gave me a funny feeling. I want to get your comment on. There was something attributed to Coach Zook saying he was glad some guys decommitted. And then secondly, to the point of maybe this recruiting class isn't highly rated and doesn't have 4 or 5 star guys, I think the comment was something to the effect of, well, you know, we don't need many guys to come in and play right away. You know, the last few classes were very good and we got plenty of guys ready to step in. Those raised my eyebrows. Can you help me off the ledge on those?
On the decommitments, I can't. You have to ask him. I was a little. He just thought that some of the decommitments, they got better players instead of the kids that had decommitted, which, you know, that's probably a little bit of spin, and he's trying to justify some of the problems. But to my view, those kids that decommitted are all going to be very good college players.
I mean, CJ could be an All-American.
Yeah, and the Easterly kid, you know, they're going to get Ernest Thomas out of Detroit, the safety, and he's better than Easterly right now. But Easterly has a good upside, you know, and I think that's just somebody defending his class. And I understand that. It's been a tough year for him on the class. I think it finished a lot better than I thought it would a month ago. I thought they were just going to be filling it with kids, if you know what I mean, guys. Mm-hmm. That, you know, either they're going to the MAC or have even less offers than that. And they finished it pretty well. They went from being at the bottom of the Big Ten probably to the middle when all is said and done, if all these kids who I think they'll sign tomorrow. What it is they're going to have, I think they're going to have 4 or 5 kids that work out to be pretty good players, possible all Big Ten players. And then they're going to have some guys, you know, the knucklehead factor in this class is very low. I think almost all of them will qualify. In fact, I think all of them will qualify. And they're going to be solid backups that are going to be early in their career. They're going to compete for starting jobs by the time they're sophomores, juniors, and seniors. And it's a good, I guess, supplemental class to the last two, where, like I said, a month ago, I thought this was just going to be the worst. This is going to be Ron Turner-like classes, but with all the instability in college football, as odd as it sounds, it kind of helped Illinois because, I mean, a lot of these kids still believe that Zook does have 2 years left, and 2011 is the big year, and that's when it's all going to get turned around, and they bought it, and they're decided to commit to Illinois.
Well, I said to Boz earlier that I thought we benefited from the fact that outside of Illinois, they don't know what a train wreck we are here.
I would say train wreck, but I think that, yeah, outside, because in the state, the in-state kids recognized that early on, that this was not a stable situation. But the out-of-state kids, for the most part, because nobody's talking, you know, 2 years ago after the Rose Bowl year, just for an example, signing day, I probably appeared on in that during this period of time 18 radio shows. This year I'm doing 3.
and what about
nobody's
the hits
really talking about, yeah, nobody's talking about Illinois football.
And what about, you know, the what about the hits on your website?
It's about the same with the economy and everybody that's trying to do this now. We've with Brad Sturdy, we've pretty much stayed about the same as we were. Not a lot of growth right now, and I understand that, but it's still about the same with the subscriptions and everything, the money coming in.
But what about the day before signing day? How many hits were you getting the day before signing day the last 2 years versus a day like today?
I'll have to check, but you're right. The interest just isn't there because the enthusiasm just isn't there. You know what I mean? Because somebody told me, a person I know up in Chicago told me, was like, well, there's not as much favorable stuff on your site about Illinois football anymore. And I'm thinking, they went 3-9 last year. Right. What do you want me to say?
Wait, what rock were you living under?
Right. Well, it zapped the enthusiasm out of me, certainly. But it seems like Petrino and Brom have kind of rejuvenated things, and they seem like pretty good recruiters. What's your take on that?
It'll be very interesting to see what kind of kids they bring in. Paterno gets them really excited and everything. But again, within the last 3 years, that staff has turned over, and you lost those type A personalities in Reggie Mitchell, Mike Locksley, Wolford, heck, even Ed Warner when he was here. Those guys were very ambitious and really got on the road recruiting, and I don't know that they have those types of personalities now, so they may be signing a different type of player, if you know what I mean.
Give me your handicap Cooper for me. Are we going to sign him tomorrow, or is he going to Nebraska?
He's going to Nebraska.
Right, so you say that with absolute certainty?
I say that with 95% certainty. His family and his high school coach want him at Illinois, but I think that he just sees Nebraska as a more glamorous situation.
A better way to get to the NFL?
Yeah. And there's no – and Nebraska and all these schools are just killing Illinois about, hey, go there, good luck, in 2 years you're going to have somebody else be your coach.
It was Reggie Rich Mitchell a recruiting and coaching loss for his program, for Rizzuk's program?
I'm sorry, say again?
Was Reggie Mitchell a loss not only on the recruiting front, but are we going to miss him as a running backs coach as well?
I think they'll miss him more as a recruiter and organizer. He was Zook's right-hand man. You know what I mean? He was the guy he was the discipline guy. He was the guy that kept a lot of things organized. He was the guy that could win a big recruiting battle.
Who's going to do that now? Who's going to be the godfather to these kids?
That's a really, really good question, because right now they have some guys that have been successful recruiters, but they were at MAC schools. They haven't recruited at this level. Just like Locksley and Mitchell had recruited at this level and won those battles. Now they're going to, like I said, maybe they're going to go in for a little different kid. Maybe, you know, they're a different plan, because I don't see right now anybody on that staff that's going to go into Chicago and be able to beat Notre Dame or USC.
Or Kansas.
Exactly. I mean, for that big time recruit, I mean, none of them have done it.
Yeah. And the other thing that Reggie has said, and I'm a little bit troubled by this, is that after the other guys were let go, and in Reggie's case, it was a matter of they did not match the Kansas salary, and I know that with certainty, but Reggie also felt badly that Gunther did not call him to wish him well, whereas when the other guys were terminated or chose to leave, there was a conversation between Gunther and those assistant coaches saying, we wish you well.
Kansas gave him a good contract. I know somebody over there that gave me his specifics. And I mean, I think sometimes Gunther takes that personally, and they had really paid Mitchell well. And I think, you know, but also I don't think Mitchell was ever really happy with the way things and the support were over there in the DIA, and maybe that also got back to the athletic director, if you know what I mean.
Because, sure.
Well, but see, Reggie left Michigan State the same way, where John L. thought Reggie was staying, and then he reads it in the newspaper that he's going to Illinois, and the same thing here. It was like, oh, no, Reggie's not. He changed his mind. He's going to stay at Illinois. And I was thinking, no, he's not. He's gone. Once he makes that decision, he was gone.
So how much more did Kansas offer him that we didn't want to come up with?
I think he got a guaranteed three-year deal for $275,000 base salary plus bonuses. So the bonuses could bump that up another $50,000.
So that's
over $900,000. And at Illinois, I'm pretty sure he's making $200,000 to $210,000 to be the running backs coach, the recruiting coordinator, and the assistant head coach. And that goes back to my Jags about support and support personnel because he goes over to Kansas and he already has two graduate assistants that are helping him with his recruiting. And, you know, just that support it sounds kind of bitch and moany, but, you know, if you're in that position and you're the recruiting coordinator, that's a tough job, and you need people, aggressive people that are up and helping you every day to keep track of things. And in Illinois, he just didn't have that.
Now, Smith,
my opinion.
Smith, the running backs coach from the East St. Louis area, is
he's from St. Louis, and he recruited St. Louis well and Chicago well for Northern Illinois. But again, and he was at Miami of Ohio, and he did a good job getting Chicago area kids there. But again, that's the MAC. That's not against USC
you're not recruiting against top-tier guys.
My question is he the new coordinator, recruiting coordinator?
Oh, I don't think that. I think they're going to make that guy Greg Nord, the tight ends coach,
okay,
who's recruiting coordinator at Louisville. He seems to have great ties to the Louisville area, down into Georgia and the South. But again, it goes none of those. Smith is the only guy on that staff that had ever recruited Illinois. And all these new guys are coming from the South, and how much can you go back to the South to get those, you know, to beat Middle Tennessee State on those kids? You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, you've got to win first, and then that'll cure a lot of ills, but we haven't figured that one out either.
But in state, all these guys, see, this goes back to my stability and consistency. All in state, all these new coaches are going to have to go meet all these high school coaches and establish. You know, they don't have a relationship with any of them. And literally, it looks like this is just starting over again.
Why I thought Reggie Mitchell was so critical in terms of keeping him.
But also, Reggie understood the game. And sometimes I wonder, sometimes you talk to some of these coaches and their instincts. That's the one thing Reggie always had. Great. And Loxley did too. Wolford, some of these guys, great instincts about where this kid's going, where that kid's going, and having those contacts and having it figured out versus, you know, when the announcement and the kid says for another school and the coach is going, I thought he was coming here.
You know,
and that's the key to recruiting, and that's what makes those guys so good is they're all over it. And that's why they win the big battles and make that kind of money. And we'll see, we'll see real quick if these guys can do it. Cause, you know, right now they're behind the eight ball with not winning, new staff, all the negative recruiting in the state. And as I've talked about, I think we've talked about, when Illinois has their best teams, they always have that core from the state of Illinois.
You know, you've walked a fine line this year, and I have a lot of respect for what you're doing, Jeff, because you've walked that fine line between being a journalist and running a business and promoting a product. But in a candid moment amongst Illini Nation and really to a core of Illini Nation right here, if you had a hypothetical interview with the head coach of the University of Illinois and you could ask him three questions and they could be anything you wanted, what questions would you ask him?
You know what? I wouldn't do it with Zook. I would do it with the athletic director.
And what would you ask Gunther in a candid moment with just the two of you there and close friends nearby?
Explain the scheduling. Okay. Why can't you have more support for the in terms of money, in terms of advertising, that kind of thing for the football program? And what's the plan? What's the plan for putting a winning football team on the field? Because, you know, look at that schedule next year. This is a rebuilding year. This is a critical year. And Missouri and then Northern Illinois, two of the first three games, Northern Illinois is going to be very good at the top of the MAC. And as we saw the last couple of years, those top of the MAC schools are just as good as middle of Big Ten schools, you know? And that puts you behind, you know, they could be 1-2 after those two games, and then they go into the Big Ten where they're playing Ohio State and Penn State early. You know, I grew up 40 miles away from Iowa City in Moline, and I was a big Illini fan, and I hated those Hawkeyes. But Hayden Fry built that program with scheduling, commitment, and having a plan.
It's about building a brand.
Exactly. And I always used to laugh and go, those pussies at Iowa, they don't play a tough schedule. Yeah, Illinois played USC, Nebraska, Southern Illinois, then Ohio State, three of the first four games, and they're 1-3, and you're just thinking, wow. Yeah, they played a tough schedule, and they're not doing anything.
Right.
And Iowa is building the brand. And then the offshoot from Fry was Barry Alvarez and Bill Snyder Wisconsin, Kansas State, who took those programs from nothing with that plan, scheduling, and commitment from the university. And I would really just like to know, you know, scheduling isn't that hard, you know, is to do it the smart way, because in the big picture, down the line, you're going to make the money that you might pay early. But that, I would just like to know the plan, why the scheduling isn't done better, and the commitment.
Jeff, we got about 10, 15 more minutes left. We want to get into now some of these recruits we're going to be hearing about tomorrow. Right now you got posted 18 kids. I counted 13 on offense, 5 on defense. I know that they can move kids around and all that. But earlier you mentioned maybe 3 or 4 of these kids will become all Big Ten players. You know, which ones are those?
I think when they get Ernest Thomas tomorrow out of Orchard Lake, Michigan, the defensive back, I think he's an all Big Ten type. This kid out of Tallahassee, Rickards, I think they get Brandon Denmark. I think he is a really good player that's going to be an outside linebacker, defensive end, pass rusher that is going to be very good for him. See, my favorite quarterback in the state, and I think one of the top 5 players in this class is Miles Osei out of Prospect.
Yeah, I've seen him a lot. I live in the neighborhood up there, and he is an interesting guy because I believe he can go both ways in terms of running a running-oriented offense, and I think he has the skills to be a drop-back passer. I've seen him make the long out throws. I've seen him make the touch throws to the sideline on wheel routes. I've seen him make nice, you know, long bombs down the field. I don't know if he's – do you think he's big enough or he'll grow into it?
He'll have to grow into it, and that was I know that the Northern Illinois coaches thought, since he didn't camp at a whole lot of places last year, that they were getting the super sleeper that was going to come in as a redshirt freshman, maybe as a sophomore, and be the guy and be an all Mac, all you know, American type of kid, just because. And in the offense that Petrino is going to run, I think he's perfect for it, because he can, like you said, he can make the throws, but he can also run. And put him under center, and they could run the option, or they could do the passing game, and that just is perfect for him.
Now, under the circumstances, with our offense being new and not having an established incumbent at quarterback, you know, I know Whitmer's down there now, and he'll go through spring ball, but, you know, how much of a chance might Osei have to get into the lineup first year, or is he a sure redshirt?
I would think, just because, like you said, of his size, that he would redshirt this year to get bigger and stronger. See, I'm not sold on any of those 3 kids they have right now. I think Cherist will probably be the guy against Missouri, but I like Osei better than Whitmer, and I'm just not sold on Nathan Gilliles having that great arm strength that they're looking for, because if they really want to go with that down the field passing game, I mean, Nathan was probably better suited for what Schultz was running last year, that short passing, controlled passing game and the option. So I think Miles needs to redshirt and that kind of thing.
Do you expect that Nathan Gilliles will probably follow Reggie to Kansas after spring ball, when it becomes obvious that he's no longer in the plans long term as the starting quarterback for the University of Illinois?
Boy, I don't think they'll let him go. It's a really good question. I just don't think that. I think he has more resolve than that. He's you know, he committed a lot. You know, him and his family committed a lot to come here, and I think they respect and like Zook enough that he'll stay. But
what other position can he play at a high enough level to play in the NFL if he stays at Illinois?
Oh, he can play wide receiver. I don't think he has the size to be a big safety, but I think he could play wide receiver.
What else did he play in high school?
Oh, he was just quarterback.
I think he played safety too, but
did he? But I know when he was here, I was over there when they worked him out before the summer before his senior year before he committed, and he played quarterback, and then they had him out running around a wide receiver, and they told him, Bloxley told him, and Mitchell, they were like, well, if quarterback doesn't work out, we can play the wide receiver, and he was fine with that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good, because from what we hear, he's a good kid and a good leader and a good athlete, so...
That's ultimately, because when Mitchell was here, he was talking about how great Shieldhouse was going to be, and part of it was the leadership thing and the fact that he could, gather the troops and get them going in the right direction, and that's something they've really kind of lacked on the offense since Martin O'Donnell was here.
Who's going to be our starting tight end next year?
London Davis or Zach Becker?
That doesn't exactly strike fear in the hearts of DBs around the Big Ten, does it?
Hey, I mean, it doesn't. But they're going to have the H back, and they're going to do all kinds of different things with the down the field passing game.
Well, you might just hook up a couple of harnesses and put a Budweiser wagon behind them.
One surprise for us tomorrow, if there's going to be one, and maybe one surprise on the national level in terms of signing day, someone making a last-minute change or whatever.
I think that they're going to get this kid out of South Florida, Delray Beach, wide receiver, quarterback, athlete, Darius Milnes, who's I think, a four-star talent. He was committed to West Virginia, and there was some... talk, he decommitted there. There's some talk that he won't qualify, but everything I hear is that he will qualify, and he can come up here and be a guy that'll be a return man, somebody that can play wide receiver right away for him and make big plays.
Will he make a cut on the return instead of just running right into the pile?
Hey, it's a new coaching staff, new attitude.
I don't know. Do we have a special teams coach yet?
No, he hasn't named any of that yet.
Scott, you want to call down there?
Well, I think that I could have done a equally good job of coaching the special teams last year, but that's neither here nor there.
And I think on a national level, the kid out of Minneapolis, Henderson, the big offensive lineman that everybody thinks he's the top player in the country, everybody thinks he's going to Ohio State. I think Lane Kiffin is going to steal him, and he's going to USC tomorrow. And go out there.
I can't stand Lane Kiffin. I really can't.
You know what? He's amusing, but the way he handled that leave in Tennessee, what a scumbag. He left his brother-in-law out hanging, and basically they packed the house up and got on the plane and didn't look back.
I got to tell you something. That guy just makes – I don't even think he has to open doors. I think he just slide right under him.
You know, the stories about what him and Orgeron were doing. Ed Orgeron, his defensive line coach, who...
He's a wild man.
Yeah, that's a book in itself, more better than that one about recruiting. But Orgeron and Kiffin were supposedly still telling all those Florida commitments that Urban Meyer was still sick and going to be on ESPN game day in a year, and they wouldn't play for him, he wouldn't be a coach anymore, and he's just... Wow. And they did it at Tennessee, and then they went out to USC, and they were doing the same thing. So
the last time I saw an elite team turn on a coach that quickly after having an absolute love affair with them was Samson in Indiana in basketball.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they deserve it.
What kind of bag was that guy?
Jeff, you've been terrific as always. We'll try to get you on one more time around spring ball or so before we wrap this up for the summer here. And great stuff as always, and we'll keep promoting Orange and Blue News. We love it, and we'll look at it every day.
Tell Jeff Frank you were just as good, if not better, than Brad Sturdy.
And guys, anytime you need me, thanks. I appreciate it.
All right, Jeff. Have a good one. Thank you.
Talk to you, man.
Quick break, or we're just
going? Yeah, 1 minute break, and we'll be right back with the conclusion of Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G.
You will find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans are available online 24/7. RizzaCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle. Compare up to 5 vehicles at once. Access new vehicle reviews. Take a new car video test drive. RizzaCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing. Why drive from dealer to dealer? Just remember,
you'll find the car you want at RizzaCars.com.
Chicago Athletic Club is the number one athletic club chain in Chicagoland, according to the Chicago Tribune. For membership info, visit their Lincoln Park, Lakeview, Evanston, or West Loop locations, or call Pat Cunningham at 773-529-2024. Tell him Boz and Mr. G sent you, and receive 1 month absolutely free. That's 773-529-2024. Chicago Athletic Clubs, another great Illini sports experience.
Streaming 24/7, on-demand archives, podcasts, and more.
TalkZone.com.
TalkZone.com. Saying a lot for planet Earth. Now, back to Talking Illini on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's Boz and Mr. G.
Talking Illini, Boz and Mr. G here. What a, you know, Jeff is great when it comes to football, and it'll certainly be interesting, Mr. G, what happens.
Well, he hasn't pulled any punches with Zook this year, and I really have a lot of respect for the fact that he's called a spade and has called Zook out when it was appropriate.
Yeah, you know, we started to get into a little of the personnel existing. It was interesting stuff. He doesn't think Hawthorne's a long-term corner, more of a safety receiver. But we'll have him back on around spring football to get more into the existing players and what our lineup might look like in St. Louis at the end of August, 1st of September.
Boz, we've got an email from Sully Illini, a loyal listener of the show. Stuff about Champaign being a terrible place to live is a freaking joke. We just have to pay up to our expectation, and RG has never been able to do that. We have never pushed our weight around in Chicago, and no one except self has ever been willing to do that. Weber made RG's job easy because he would never leave. Having a coach here for 20 years doesn't excite me unless we're in the top 15 year in and year out. You have to be willing to push the envelope in Chicago and pay the coaches top dollar. We are not willing to do that.
He's hit it on the head. And I think we might not be, one of the reasons we might not be willing to do that is because maybe we get a little nervous from past history about dealing with
I'm so
people.
Sick of hearing
well,
that.
Well, I know, but I am too, and I agree 100%. There's no reason why we should be the top of the league in both sports.
If you act like a little company, you'll always be a little company. If you act like a second-rate power in basketball when you should be a first-rate power, you're selling yourself short. This is a program that has an unbelievably great fan base in basketball throughout the state of Illinois. We are the University of Illinois in basketball, and everybody in this state was on our side during the run in 2005. There's no reason we shouldn't be sustaining that.
Absolutely. It'll be an interesting next couple years to see what happens with both programs. A couple quick notes here. Again, a reminder, Saturday, February 20th, we'll be at Joe's on Weed Street in Chicago. 1 to 3, we'll do a show. 3 o'clock on ESPN over there. We'll stay around and have a party and watch us beat Purdue at Mackey Arena and keep the orange and blue ball rolling towards the NCAA tournament. Long-time listener since the first show, first-time participant, Barry from Oak Park, has an interesting take. He says, you know, I have to say I don't like this basketball team yet. I don't see an identity, and McCamey doesn't do too much for me either. You know, the identity thing I think is slowly going to start to formulate here. I think it has started and will continue to do so as we move forward. You know, we talked a lot about Dimitri at the beginning of the show, and you know, you were on him early in the year preseason, but I think you got to be pleasantly pleased with what he's doing.
I have been singing his praises the last couple weeks, last few weeks. I still want to see more out of him on the defensive end, and I want him to value every possession. This is a kid who has NBA talent. Now is the time to morph into the player that you want to be.
Will you do some singing at Joe's? Or
Perhaps. Joe's location is 940 West Weed Street. That's one block or a half block south of North Avenue and just east of Sheffield. It's a great area, great college sports bar, very lively, very fun. We're going to have a great time. Join us. We're going to be giving away pitchers of beer, free T-shirts. Probably some dinner certificates to Wildfire as well. It's going to be a great time had by all. Our primary sponsor that day is going to be Chicago Athletic Clubs with locations in Lincoln Park, Lakeview, West Loop, and, of course, Evanston. They'll be there. They'll be giving away free stuff, too. It's going to be a great day. We hope to see you. That's February 20th from 1 to 3, just prior to the Purdue game, at Joe's on Weed, 940 West Weed Street.
And we have two more shows in studio here before that one, so you'll be hearing a lot about it. Finally, Mr. G, on the Rival site, when we were announcing Jeff's appearance today, Illini Steve chimed in, which I think was a nice compliment. Thank you, Illini Steve says, I like me some Boz and Mr. G. So, Illini Steve, we hope to see you out at Joe's in a few weeks also. One final thing.
We'll be giving grammar lessons that day as well.
One thing that's been bugging me, at the end of games, he does offense, defense, takes Tisdale out, puts Jordan in. I don't know why he takes Tisdale out for defense. You need him to stand in the middle and clog it up and block some shots or redirect some shots, number one. Number two, if he gets a rebound, he's our best free throw shooter. And there's times he's sitting on the bench and we got someone else shooting free throws. Can you help me with that?
You know, I think he has his reasons, and I think there is a rationale for why he brings Jordan in. He wants perimeter pressure. He wants to create some turnovers, and he thinks there'll be enough stoppage in plays where he can bring Tisdale in for the offensive end and free throws. To the extent that you're right and he's wrong, history will solve that mystery for us.
Well, I'm not trying to say I'm right and he's right. It just doesn't, to me, make a lot of sense.
Boz, these 2 hours have whizzed by. We've had great guests in Herb Gould, Jeff Johnson from Rivals, CB, a regular caller, coming on the show for a while with us as well. Anything you want to add before we sign off?
No.
ILL, Boz.
I and I, Mr. G.